We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Oh, we're getting close now, just 8 days away until the NFL draft. We're all over it. The guys at the NFL Network are all over it. Daniel Jeremiah is all over the NFL draft. He's an NFL Network analyst. You can follow Daniel on Twitter at Move the Sticks, and he is on the line with us right now. Daniel, we watch you Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock on NFL Network's Path to the Draft. I got to say, you're always on the network. You're the hardest working man in show business right now, Daniel.
Well, that's nice of you. It's a lot of work. I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to this draft finally getting here, and we're getting close, almost just a week away here.
Yeah, you know, we were saying on the radio show last night, it's been such a long process that's dragged out a couple of extra weeks, and yet now, with the light at the end of the tunnel, I'm getting really excited about what's to come in 8 days.
Yeah, no, it's finally like you can get excited about it. It felt like you had to just kind of temper things down a little bit because it seems so far off in the distance, and now we can finally start to see a little bit of that light at the end of the tunnel here. Yeah.
Hey, Daniel, on a piece that you did on the network and on NFL.com recently, you addressed the Bills' draft needs, and you focused in on Eric Ebron of North Carolina. Tell us why you think he's a good fit for Buffalo.
Well, I think, look, anytime you have a young quarterback, I think it's all about trying to get them easy completions, and the best way to do that is with the difference maker of the tight end position. You're in between the hashes. Those are easier throws. You got guys that can separate and get some space. I think it's the quarterback's best friend. So you invest that first-round pick in E.J. Manuel, I think the draft ought to be about, you know, helping him out. And I think the best way you could do that would be with a guy like Eric Ebron. I think he's clearly the top tight end in this draft class, somebody that not only, you know, can go up and get the football, but he's excellent after the catch, a whole new element that not many guys in this draft class bring.
It's unlikely anybody would draft Eric Ebron and expect him to be a good blocker, but I hear different things. One draft expert says he can't block at all. A Bill scout just told me earlier today that he won't hurt you as far as the run game and being a blocker. What do you think?
No, he's not. I mean, he's just going to wall you off and shield you. That's what 99% of the tight ends do. I mean, the teams that I worked with, when we were in draft meetings every single year, all right, let's talk. We have any blocking tight ends? Let's, you know, who's the best blocker in this bunch? And that was about a minute and a half discussion, and then we moved on because there just aren't any.
Does a tight end, and does he in particular, merit the 9th overall selection? Would that make sense value-wise?
I think so. I think I have him maybe the 13th or 14th overall player in this draft, but clearly is a top player at that position. So you have a need, maybe it's a little bit of a reach, but I think you've got a guy that's a difference maker, and I could justify that. I don't think that's too early for him.
We're on the line with Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at Move the Sticks. Daniel, will any of the three top offensive tackles be available for the Bills when they're sitting there at number 9?
The thing with offensive tackles, they get pushed up the board every year. I mean, last year we saw it. Well, we have 3 of the top 4 picks were tackles. So to me, I always, when I'm trying to project what's going to happen with those guys, I slide them up. No matter where you have them graded, I think they go a little bit higher. So I would say maybe less than 50% chance that they see that third tackle there at number 9.
What about the fourth tackle? Is it, in fact, Zach Martin from Notre Dame?
Yeah, I think so. To me, it is. I mean, there's a little bit of a gap between Taylor Lewan and Zach Martin. Some people on their boards have Zach Martin sliding inside and playing guard, which I think you could do with ease. I think he'd be a dominant guard. But I think he's capable of playing tackle. And he's got 52 starts at Notre Dame. You shouldn't have any questions about him. You've seen him do everything you need to see. I think he's one of the more consistent players in this draft. I think he's a guy going to come in and start right away. And I think you have a solid player at tackle. I don't know if you're going to have a Pro Bowler, but you have a guy you won't have to replace for you know, 8 to 10 years.
From a Bills perspective, with the 9th overall pick, that would probably be too early to take a Zach Martin, I would think, huh?
Yeah, that's a little bit early for me, just with all the other players you have available at that point. To me, I could see Zach Martin maybe going as early as 12 to the New York Giants, but even that might be pushing him up the board a little bit. If you really want to do that, I'd just get out of there. Trade back and try to secure him a little bit later down the line.
Daniel, how many of the quarterbacks, if any, do you think will go in the 8 picks before Buffalo picks at number 9?
I would say maybe one. If I was going to try and handicap it here, I would say that the most likely scenario is one is gone. The next most likely scenario would be 0, and then the next one would be 2. So I think we're more likely to have no quarterbacks go than to have 2 of them go before they pick.
Who do you think that first quarterback off the board will be?
No, I think it'll be Manziel. I do. I think that there's been a lot of time for people to talk themselves into him. And There's some very intriguing aspects to his play, and I think that there's a real chance we're going to see a team buy in on it, and he'll be the first quarterback off the board.
Is Cleveland the likeliest candidate for Johnny Manziel?
I think Cleveland and Minnesota. Okay. Those are the two that I would keep an eye on. Yeah, I think those teams need quarterbacks. Those are both teams with defensive-minded head coaches that appreciate how difficult it would be to defend somebody like Johnny Manziel. I think that's probably the most likely landing spots for him, those two teams.
We're on the line with Daniel Jeremiah of the NFL Network. NFL Network with live coverage of the draft coming up next week, May 8th through May 10th. Hey, Daniel, how far, if the Bills are going to make a move up in the draft, how far up would they have to go to get, say, Sammy Watkins, would you think?
Sammy Watkins, I think there's a real chance he's, you know, I think he's going to go pick 3 or 4. I think he's going to go to Jacksonville at 3 or go to Cleveland at 4. So if you want to get him, I think that's how far up you have to go. I don't see him getting out of that, you know, past Cleveland with that 4th overall pick.
How is he the type of elite player that would warrant a big – I mean, you're talking – if the Bills are going to move up from 9 to 3 or 4, they're going to have to probably give up another first-rounder in addition to swapping this year, and maybe even more than that. Does he warrant that kind of investment?
I love Sammy Watkins. He's my second player, my second highest-graded player I have in the entire draft, but he's not worth that. He's not worth giving up what you would, because you look at the opportunity you would have there at pick number 9, the receiver that you could get there plus the first-round pick next year that you'd have to part with. I'd rather have that package than to go up and get Sammy Watkins. Love him. He's a great player, but there's a lot of depth at that spot in this draft.
So who would be a receiver pick that would make sense at number 9, would you think?
Well, I think Mike Evans is probably going to go to Tampa as it looks right now. That makes a lot of sense with their need at the position. So if he's off the board, it's a little bit early for Odell Beckham, but I don't think it's I wouldn't hate that pick. Another situation though, where if they wanted to slide back, if somebody wanted to come up for somebody else, maybe they want to come up for an Eric Ebron or a corner, you could slide back a little bit. Odell Beckham would be the next receiver in line for me.
If the Bills like Mike Evans and the Bucks like and maybe need Mike Evans, there's no way that, I mean, that's the pick you got to get ahead of if you're the Buffalo Bills, if you truly believe that Mike Evans is worth that kind of a move, right?
Yeah, and we've talked about the Falcons as a team that's going to move more than likely in this draft, either up or down. They're at number 6. They could move up for Khalil Mack, maybe Jadeveon Clowney, which I don't think they would. That would be too costly. But you could maybe, if you're Atlanta, move up from 6 to 4 for Mack. But if they're unable to get that done, I think they're a team picking right before Tampa, knowing Mike Evans as a possible landing spot. Atlanta, I think they'd be open to sliding back a few spots, and that could be a trade that would work out for Buffalo.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. What about the reports that the Bills are talking about moving up? Do you think, given the fact that this draft is very deep, does it make sense to move up? Would it make more sense to move down, do you think?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, when you're talking about those first 4 players, I think there's 4 elite players in this draft. And I just gave you the case for one of them. You know, Sammy Watkins is an elite player, but I think because of the depth of the position, you don't move up for him. The other 3, you talk about Greg Robinson, who I think is far and away the best tackle in this draft, and 2 pass rushers, Mack and Clowney. So if you're not going to go up there and get one of those pass rushers, I don't know that it's the wise move to part with precious picks in this draft. I think I'd rather stay where I am or maybe even slide down.
I worry about the Bills having only 6 picks going in. That's not a lot of capital, not a lot of currency to work with if you want to move around, is it?
No question. Yeah, there's a lot of teams. You look at the 49ers and a couple others have 11, 12 picks. I think Jacksonville has 11 picks as well. So those teams, the teams got a little more ammunition to move around. If I'm Buffalo in a draft that's very deep at a couple key positions, yeah, I want more picks, not less.
Daniel, tell me about Jadeveon Clowney. Is he, in fact, a generational type player, a kind of a difference maker that, you know, maybe even talk about a Hall of Fame in his future sometime?
I don't want to put all that on a guy who hasn't taken a snap yet, but when you talk about just talent, raw talent, Clowney's he's the most talented defensive player that I've evaluated in 10 years. So that's what I, you know, say about him. He's got the rare size, length, explosiveness to be a dominant NFL player. And, we talk a lot about, is he going to ever reach 100% of his potential and work ethic, this, that, or the other. I firmly believe if he reaches 70% of his potential, he's going to be he's going to be a guy that's going to take some trips to Hawaii. He's a really gifted player.
Daniel, I read a couple of your tweets today. You tweeted out that you had a look at John Urschel. He's a local kid here, a Buffalo kid playing at Penn State. What do you project for him? What do you think of him?
Yeah, John Urschel, to me, I look at him more as kind of that 5th round area. It's a very good, deep group of guards. I slide him down a little bit, but somebody that's tough and physical, plays the way you want a guard to play, just on the ground a little bit too much. I like to see him be a little bit better athlete, a little more under control at times. But I love the temperament and I love the awareness he plays with. I think he's got a chance to be a starter in the league.
You tweeted out this afternoon that you liked the running backs. You said there's some good mid-round value in the running back group. What do you have in mind there?
Yeah, the running back group I like a lot. And you know, it depends on what you want, big guys or little guys. And I think we talk about all these guys getting pushed down the board. I have that collection of three big guys when you're looking at, you know, Jeremy Hill and Carlos Hyde and then Terrence West from Townsend. Those three guys are intriguing. But then when you get to those middle rounds, you get some of those smaller guys. You get a Lake Seastrunk out of Baylor, who's stiff, but he is very explosive. He can hit a home run. You got Charles Sims out of West Virginia, the Houston transfer, who can catch the ball out of the backfield and do some things in the passing game. And Devontae Freeman's a guy I really like from Florida State. Undersized, kind of a poor man's Darren Sproles, though, and the fact that he can help you in the passing game, and he's just really, really quick and runs bigger than his size inside. So there's a lot of intriguing running backs in this draft. The position's been devalued, which to me means you're going to get real value with these guys in the middle rounds.
Deepest position in the draft, Daniel, what do you think it is?
Wide receiver, and it's not close.
Really?
I mean, wide receiver by far. Yeah, wide receiver. After that, I would say corner's pretty deep. And then there's pretty good depth at tackle. I think those are probably the top three positions. Edge rusher, not very deep. Inside linebacker, not very deep. But those other three, pretty strong.
Daniel, thanks for this. We appreciate it. Great work on the network. We'll be watching because we know you're there. You're there 24/7, apparently, on NFL Network.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to this draft getting over. Take a little break.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Thanks, Daniel.
All right, take care.
Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at MoveTheSticks. And he's on the network, the NFL Network, Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock on the NFL Network's Path to the Draft Show. I mean, he's on 24/7. He's always there. All right, a lot to talk about there. Some good insight from Daniel Jeremiah. We'll be back to talk about some of it. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.